It's my pleasure to introduce today as our guest preacher, Bishop Dilo Raj, who is the Bishop of Colombo, Sri Lanka, and the presiding bishop of the Church of Ceylon. He's been with us as our synod speaker this weekend, and it's a great privilege to have you with us today, Bishop. Thank you.
Thank you. Shall we look unto the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship. We are earthly worship is connected with that worship that goes on in heaven, and that we are enabled to offer unto you one act of thanksgiving for Jesus our Lord, who is present in our lives, the power of the Spirit, and for us to be empowered to face any challenge and every challenge. Lord, even as I preach your word, hide me in you. May your children hear the still small voice of yours underneath the words which are to be spoken in your name, that your word will become the healing agent, the balm of Gilead to the brokenhearted. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I bring you greetings from my own church, the Church of Ceylon, and my own diocese, the Diocese of Colombo. I consider this to be a great privilege and a blessing to be part of your faith journey in your diocese. The last few days I've been journeying on with the church here in Singapore. And today I am grateful to your vicar and your clergy and your trustees of the cathedral for inviting me to share God's word with you. The theme of my sermon, be overcomers. Be overcomers. Friends, we live in a world that is troubled, a broken world, a shattered world, a bleeding world, a polarized world. And we Christians, when trouble come our way, we ask the question whether God is there. Why should bad things happen to good people? Has God eyes to see? Has God ears to hear? Has God got a heart to feel? Or is God absent from all that we are called to face in this troublesome world? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. Although man is not able to fathom the work of God from the beginning to the end. When everything else becomes destructive, there is something beautiful, something fragrant, something permanent that we will ever lose in this pilgrimage of life. And that is the gift of eternity. For He has set eternity in our hearts. Although we are unable to fathom the work of God from the beginning to the end. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, God says, I'm making everything new. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life, meaning the Holy Spirit. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Thanks be to God that the incarnation story never ended with Bethlehem. Jesus came into this world because the Father wanted to redeem us and put right the broken relationships of God-man relationship and man-man relationship that was broken by the very disobedience of humankind. He rectified those relationships on the cross, the horizontal and the vertical. He came, he died, he rose again, he ascended unto heaven and sat at the right side of the Heavenly Father. And things didn't stop there. Thanks be to God. He sent his Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, who is with us and within us. The intention of the Father is to see that the God of the outside becomes the God of the inside. The Word of God says that the very power that raised Jesus from the dead is within you. Whatever may happen around us, we are not lost. For eternity has been set in the hearts of all of us. This passage from the book of Ecclesiastes, which speaks about a time and a season for everything, ends with a pertinent question. What profit is there for a human being from all his toils? Verse 9. The unspoken answer to this question is actually the bottom line of this book. Human beings cannot do anything about it. Human beings cannot do anything about it. The passage depicts life as a series of contradictory acts. The positive in one event is cancelled by the negative in another, and death casts its shadow over everything. What then to make of life? In my country, Christians who went to church, confessed their sins, received God's absolution. They heard the scriptures being read. They heard the word being preached. They touched Jesus in the sacrament. They received the heavenly blessing. And after the blessing was imparted, the bomb went off, shattering people into pieces. What then to make of life? Are we just puppets on a string? What about free will and God's retribution? Man misuses his free will to kill those worshiping God on Easter Day. Where is God in all this? Now, this remains a problem for the author of the Ecclesiastes. Then he says, God made everything beautiful in his time. He also set eternity in their hearts. although man is not able to fathom the work of God from the beginning to the end. My dear brother, my dear sister, the phrase summarizes the essence of his thoughts. He affirms the fittingness and the beauty of God's creation. And surprisingly, he also seems to affirm an eternity in the heart of human beings. Amidst all his pessimism and skepticism, the author affirms a faith in God's providence, which can never fail. What the author wishes to convey is this: however absurd and meaningless your life situation may appear, one, have faith in God's providence. Two, live in fear of Him. Three, take life one day at a time. Firstly, have faith in God's providence. When you realize that you are God's conduit, you will experience your God as Jehovah Jireh. My brother, my sister, a conduit is a channel through which things like water and electricity move from one point to another. And thus, you are God's conduit. You are designed to be a free-flowing channel for Jesus Christ Himself. Hence, God has chosen you as the change agent on earth. God's providence will happen through you. Remember how God promised Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Deuteronomy 11:24. We bring the influence and the benefits of God's kingdom wherever we go. The problem, my dear brother, my dear sister, is with us. The problem is our receivers don't always work. It takes faith to believe we actually hear God's instructions, just as it takes faith to believe an unseen radio wave is passing through our living rooms, because we are confident of that reality. We tune in, we receive, and we transmit. Scientists tell us that the greatest metal conduit is pure gold. But according to the Bible, the genuineness of your faith is much more than gold. 1 Peter 1:7. Remember, my dear brother, my dear sister, certain obstacles can block our ability to receive and be conduits for God. If our hearts are hard, our wires are down. Or if we are unaware of our identity as conduits, we go through life without tapping into the power God has given us, the power of His Spirit. Secondly, live in the fear of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Psalm 111, verse 10. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, Proverbs 8:13. Now realize this does not mean that you are called to be frightened about God, but to be conscious of His presence in your life and that you are accountable to Him. It's very sad today that the fear of the Lord is diminishing from the hearts and lives of Christians. The world has swallowed them up. The power of influence, the power of affluence has gripped them. As the gospel passage puts it, you need to stand before the living God one day and give an account for every minute of your life. The purpose of the gospel passage is to tell us what we must do in order to be saved. There is nothing called gray there, either black or white. Either you are saved or you are not saved. The passage is as much a parable of separation. The sheep and the goats, like wheat and the weeds, in Matthew 13, 24 to 30. God says, be holy because I'm holy. 1 Peter 1:15 says, be holy in all you do. Unfortunately, my dear brother, my dear sister, very sadly, holiness is not a subject, as I said, we hear much about these days. You need to ask that question as to what does holiness mean? Holiness doesn't isolate you from the world in which you live, but it insulates you against its negative influences. Holiness is not a scorecard for deciding who is closer to God and who is not. No one can read the spiritual level of the other except God. He's the only God who can read the thermometer, so to say. Holiness is having a heart that is aware of your shortcomings and praying in total submission as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Thirdly, take life one day at a time. This means walking by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. Walking by faith is not easy. When you make up your mind to trust God one day at a time, the odds are usually stacked against you. You remember Noah and his story? When he built the ark, there had never been any rain. And the outcome isn't always what you expect. Walking by faith doesn't mean that your problems suddenly evaporate. Sometimes faith doesn't change your circumstances, but it changes you by giving you the tenacity to hang in there. When everything else is lost, everything else is broken, everything else is shattered, When your exam results are disappointing, when the doctor says it is malignant, when your family which worship God is killed by suicide bombers, when your spouse asks for a divorce, when the children are running riot, or the place you have worked in which gave you the bread and butter for 30 years closes its doors on you. Look here, my dear friends. Faith gives you the fortitude to endure these things as you face them each day and handle them one day at a time. Confident that God is working on your behalf. The resurrected Lord and Master went before his disciples, and when he walks before you, realize that nothing would touch you that would not touch him first. That he will never give you more than what you can absorb or endure, for he knows your capacity. Be confident that God is working on your behalf. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, verse 12. So walking by faith means trusting the faithfulness of God. Even though everything else seems disappointing. Faith means following in the footsteps of godly people who did extraordinary things in life. Faith means using your faith because it is the currency of heaven. When you take one day at a time to live by faith, it's about a lifestyle. Anybody can go the first few rounds in the ring. It's when you are knocked down in the ninth that you need the faith to get up and back and keep fighting. When the plane you are flying on encounters turbulence, you don't throw away your ticket and cry saying that I want to get out of this plane. You learn to sit still and trust the pilot. So, my dear brother and sister in Christ, when you take one day at a time to live by faith, discount your circumstances, dethrone your doubts. Start walking in faith, taking one day at a time. Your Lord and my Lord is still on the throne. And not an iota will move in your life and mind without his approval. For he is in full control. Revelations 3:19 says that this. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Listen carefully. Verse 21. To him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. These are not my words, my dear brother, my dear sister. They are words from Holy Scripture. Be an overcomer And you will experience the peace that the Lord is willing to give you. Shall we quieten ourselves? And in that silence, shall we sing that chorus, "We shall overcome," twice.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. Once again, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday.
He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. Although man is not able to fathom the work of God from the beginning to end, to him who overcomes, I will give you the right to sit with me on my throne. Father, we just want to thank you for your living word. We come to you with the brokenness of our lives. Lord, you know each of our lives as we offer our brokenness unto you this afternoon. Lord, may your very presence in the Holy Eucharist touch us, and may your very presence become the balm of Gilead that can make us to hope in you, Lord Jesus, even beyond the grave, for everything that you have prepared for us all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.